Hey everybody, I'm Mike D. This is Carly B. This week we're going to talk turkeys. Getting to be springtime here. Them gobblers are already starting to strut here close to home here in Michigan. And we got a few friends here. We had a safari club in town the last few weeks. Got some guys still hanging around. So we thought we would hook up with them and talk a little bit of turkey. We got the 2017 World Turkey Hunting Champion, Francis Whitfield.
And not only does he kill turkeys, your boy can sing.
Yeah, he can sing for sure. I got my buddy Mike Yonkes in from Wisconsin hanging out. Believe it or not, all the traveling he's done, all the whitetails, everything he shot, he's never shot a turkey. Come to find out.
So what? You gotta save it.
But, all right. I gotta save it. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Restart.
Okay, my bad.
And begin.
And see.
Hey, everybody. I'm Mike D. This is Carly B. Hunting Truth Podcast. This week, we're going to talk turkeys. We're at springtime. Gobblers are starting to strut. And we're going to get to a little bit of conversation here with some friends that are still around town from the past couple weeks with Safari Club. We got Francis Whitfield, Mike Yonke, and Jordan Weisskopf. Carly, let's go.
Well, I think we can talk about how to get into turkey hunting.
Absolutely.
We've got some listeners who have never turkey hunted ever before. I've only done it a couple times. So, and actually every time I've went turkey hunting has been, and been successful, it's been guided.
Okay.
So like, that's my truth. And I think there's gonna be some people who are day one too. So, like what should I have in my gear bag? If I want to go out and be successful. Getting a Eastern turkey, I think, is what we'd all be probably hunting, right?
Here in Michigan, we're talking
snacks.
That is the move. I'm in.
Snack packs.
Snacks.
Snacks. Francis, can you give us, you guide turkeys down there in Kentucky. Give us some pointers, buddy.
Well, I'm a minimalist.
Perfect.
My hunting partners are, guys that I've hunted with, a lot of them, they take everything but the kitchen sink when they go.
Got
chairs, they got decoys, I got usually two turkey calls, a shotgun, my camouflage, full face camouflage and all. But it's an easy, enjoyable sport. That it's just I like turkey hunting better than I do anything.
Nothing's easy, Francis.
Well,
how many years have you been
growing? Well, I started in 92 when I was working on midnight shift and some of the guys down there was talking about turkey hunting. And I'm like, well, what? I've never lived in Kentucky all my life. And we didn't have turkeys, just on the wildlife managed areas and stuff had a few in different parts of the state. So they was talking about it at lunch one night and they said, well, they've been turkey hunting. I said, what's the deal? And one of the guys said, well, you should have them where you live. I've been on the farm all my life. Never heard a turkey in the wild. So next morning I go out and I can mimic an owl with my voice, So I got up on the ridge there and I owl hooted and it was like, go, 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 go. Holy crap. What I do now? So I took a old Remington Wingmaster shiny 2 3/4 inch number 4 shot. And I take off down there. I had the first old Quaker boy box call, Grand Old Master. And took off down through there, sat down on a ridge and started calling. I had 3 turkeys coming from different directions. I'm like, what am I doing first, Well, I finally figured out this one is going to get here first. So I turned around and this is something they did. It'll be in the story, but I'm looking up and here he comes. He's strutting and I don't know. I never had that kind of excitement in my life. The thing's all blowed up and they're gobbling and I laid it up on him, 20 yard, boom, shot. And he's flopping around. Oh, boy, first time out, I killed a turkey. And I'm picking up my stuff there, just looking around. And I look up, he's doing the fat man shuffle right up over the hill. I shoot 2 more at him. He gets to the top of the hill, takes off flying, and goes down off the ridge, lands across the creek, and runs up over the hill. What just happened? It looked like somebody dumped a feather pillow there where I shot. So I get to work the next night. What are you doing? Good. Well, yeah, all kinds of turkeys. And so called one in, shot him, and he flopped around and took off. He said, would you shoot him in the head? Huh? He said, you got to shoot him in the head. Get a turkey choke. So that night during lunch, I went to Walmart and bought me a 870 Express with a turkey choke. And that was the best piece of advice I've ever. Don't shoot him in the body. You got to shoot him in the head.
So. Well, everyone always told me to shoot him in the pecker.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what they pick up the corn with.
Oh boy! So when you say turkey choke, what do you mean when you say turkey choke? For those of you that are new that don't understand the difference between chokes and a gun, what's the difference between a regular choke and a turkey choke?
Well, you've got your restriction on your barrel that it controls your pattern of your, you know, your shot, your projectiles. That's at the tighter the choke, the you know, the denser it gets your pattern. So you want that tightness, because 30 yards out, if you got an improved cylinder or a cylinder bore barrel, it's just wide open. It's like for shooting quail or something close, you know,
on sporting clays, stuff.
Yeah, sporting clays on the wing shooting and stuff. But with a turkey, you've got to be specific. There's got to be a pellet in the, you know, the brain or the neck that the, you know, they're going to run. They're going to take off and leave you flying with feathers in your
So it's more of what they would call a full choke.
Full. Or an extra full.
Yeah, that gives you a tighter pattern.
Yep, yeah, absolutely. So down range, you get a tighter pattern. So when they're out there at 30 yards, that it's going to hit the head. And so what type of calls do you put in your backpack, Jordan? What do you usually use?
Well, for getting started, I would recommend a box call. They're just easy to work, and they can be a little subtle for just soft calling. A lot of times, like back home, at least Easterns get a little finicky, and they just want to kind of pinpoint where you're at, and then they'll come in and investigate. I also like slate calls. They're a little more challenging to kind of figure out and get a hand on, but they come in slate and glass. I like both, depending on the occasion. Then there's, you know, a little more advanced call, which is a mouth call. Takes a lot of practice. I'm still not the best at that, but it helps free your hands up if you're, you know, out of a blind and you got your gun up on a bird, and minimizes the movement. So
they all got their place then, right?
Yeah, they all serve their own purpose. You know, if it's rainy out, I would not recommend a box call or a slate call, because it's just not going to work.
No doubt. But so when you were first learning how to use calls and stuff, you know, like when you first got started, was there any videos or anything that you watched, or anybody that you kind of was in the industry that?
For me, I got started or introduced through the NWTF.
Okay.
Going to banquets with my family and stuff like that. They had a turkey calling competition, and I participated in that. But as far as, you know, like the Outdoor Channel, for example, I mean, that's what I watch when I watch TV. So HS Strut was one of the kind of pioneers for me when I first got into it, and that's how I learned how to call with, like, Alex Rutledge. Watching him use that mouth call, man, it's something special. But TV, really
awesome. Yeah. So you just kind of was watching the Outdoor Channel, watching some of them outdoor shows.
Yep.
Picking up them tips and tricks from guys who are doing it in the field every day.
Yeah, just practice on my own, and, you know, car ride after picking up a new box of mouth calls, just bust it open and throw it in and drive home and try to figure it out, you know, and just try to mimic what the guys were doing. Yeah. On TV and stuff.
Okay. So that's where you learn, hey, you need to yelp, you need to cluck, you need, you know, there's all kinds of stuff. Francis could tell us all about probably some of that more advanced stuff. But Mike, I mean, when you go turkey hunting, what do you use?
Well, to be quite honest with you, I've never killed a turkey.
So all the hunting you've done all over the freaking planet,
yeah,
and you haven't been turkey hunting?
Never.
What is going on?
I mean, I've seen some.
What is going on?
What is happening?
Christoph, can you fill us in?
He's lacking something upstairs. If he ain't been turkey hunting,
well, I'll be honest. I mean, you're right, Mike. I've been a lot of places and hunted a lot of game, and everyone asks me, and even at home in Wisconsin on my own farm, there's piles of turkeys, and I, you know, they're all around, and I've never shot one, never killed one. Everyone always begs and begs. Yankee, first turkey you ever kill, I'm calling it in for you. I'm like, okay, well, it's been going on forever, and I still haven't killed one.
So when are you going to get out? When are you going to kill a turkey?
Well, hopefully this spring, which is right around the corner.
Okay.
That's so awesome.
Yeah,
awesome. My dad was the same way, actually. We bought a trip to go out west, and he had never killed a turkey before.
Oh,
and I was like, that sounds fun. We knew the guide. We're like, why not? And he was like,
And how long ago was this?
2-3 years ago.
See, that's awesome.
And he'd been to Africa. He'd literally been all over the world.
Either.
Correct, yeah.
All right. Wow. I would probably get along real well with you, Dad.
So even if you are experienced, even if you've been hunting a lot, you know, whether it's a turkey, whether it's a deer, whatever it may be, just getting out there, getting involved. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's always a fresh start somewhere and something to learn.
Yeah.
Well, there is. I'm 51, never killed a turkey. How old was your dad when he shot his first turkey?
Probably 60.
Okay. See?
Yeah. Everybody's
it's never too late.
Yeah. Never too late. Yeah. Never
and
too
it's
late.
The experience, you know, hearing the vocals from turkeys, like a gobble or a hen clucking or mm-hmm. them fighting out off in the distance and seeing how pretty they are. I mean, when they mm-hmm. get all strutted up and you can just see that copper glowing off of them and some other unique colors, it's mesmerizing.
That's pretty amazing.
And you can get your hands on them, you know. So,
see, and people tell me that because I do live for whitetail hunting and all vocalization of whitetail or other big game animals. And people are like, if you ever have a turkey come up in your face,
drumming, spitting, gobbling, feeling its thing.
That,
there's nothing like
it. Feel it, and I'm like, I do have to do that.
Yeah,
I need to do it. So.
Even watching how they react to other animals, like when a crow pesters a tom, man, he's just gobbling his brains out. Or, you know, early in the morning, or when they go up to roost in the evening, a barn owl or something starts hooting and they're gobbling at that. And it's like, these silly birds, what are you doing? But it's cool.
See, I get to hear all that when I'm, you know, hunt whitetail.
Yeah, they'll gobble in the fall.
Yeah,
that
you know,
stir something inside of you.
It does. A lot of things stir something inside of me, Francis. Yeah. But I'm gonna tell you what, I will get out there this spring. I
the
promise
beans
you can kill a turkey.
The beans for breakfast.
So one thing that I remember from turkey hunting, because I made this mistake my first time going out, was they were like, they have amazing eyesight. Like, you go sit. It was one of my first guided hunts, because it was pretty early on for me, actually. And so, like, it was different for me. He was like, all right, go sit at that tree, and I'm going to sit back here, and I'll call him past you. And I'm like, okay. Well, I didn't know, like, he's not there to tell me when to shoot or anything. He's like, so I was kind of nervous, and I'm sitting there, and, you know, he has super good eyes, like, so don't move. And I was like, okay. So I never moved, like, literally ever. And he was like, the turkey was like 30 yards from you. What were you doing? And I'm like, he could see me. I don't know how I could have moved without him seeing
don't
me.
Don't move.
You know? So that's obviously like dramatic. And I got my ass chewed for that one after we got back to the turkey. He stood in front of me for all 20 minutes. And finally was like, this broad's crazy. Like, she ain't going to kill me. I'm going to move on. And so the guy came up to me and was like, what on earth were you doing? Chewed me. But, What's the like happy medium? Like, they have amazing eyesight. What for somebody who's getting out there to not be a statue, but like to not jump out and be like, gotcha. You know, what's going to be the good medium?
If you got any inkling that turkey's coming your direction, if he starts getting closer, my recommendation would get your gun up, get ready to in the line of sight where he's at, because he may shut up and you not hear him. Think, well, he's not coming. And then the next thing you know, you'll move. And you'll hear that boop, and look over and you're busted. And
that's when they're gone.
That's the time that it's like, you either shoot right then or say bye-bye to your turkey. Cause the older birds are more like they may shut up when they start coming to you. Don't give up and jump up, because most of them will come in kind of watching. They this ain't their first time that this has happened. And that's where a lot of people are. I don't like, if I'm moving on a turkey, I like running and gunning. If I owl hoot or crow call and he answers, I don't like walking, you know, trying to locate a turkey with a hen call, because, and it's from experience, you'll be heading towards him and he's heading towards you and y'all meet in the middle and you never win that battle. Never.
Never.
And it's if I'm trying to locate turkeys, I'll use a crow call or owl call or something like that, or you know, just any other thing to locate them. But I wouldn't recommend using a hen call to locate your gobbler, unless you're a place where you can sit down and sit up there, because 90% of the time they're doing the same thing you are. They're going to that. You're going after him, and he's after you.
Well, in the springtime, it's mating season. Yeah. So when you make a hen call, that's saying, hey, I'm ready to breed. The gobbler's trying to come in to breed a hen. So, I mean, for any of y'all out there, I mean, you'd be running to the call too.
Well, it's so coming from somebody that's never killed a turkey, and I love archery hunting. I mean, so if I'm going to try to go out this spring and kill a turkey, I mean, probably recommend first trying to shoot one with a shotgun. I mean, is that...
Yeah, that's probably the best. And when you're sitting in the woods, I think we should touch on real quick, you're typically sitting on the ground. When you're sitting in the woods waiting for a turkey, you're not standing next to a tree. You're sitting on the ground. And if you want to be kind of in a ready position, I personally, you know, throw one knee up and I'll set my gun on my knee and just have it rest in there and try to adjust to the area, general direction of where they're coming. Yeah, is that a good suggestion, absolutely. Francis?
Yeah, absolutely. Lean up against a thicker tree than your body, you know, so you got some sort of silhouette behind you. I like to maybe sit off to the side. I have a harder time
doing that sometimes.
Well,
we heard a couple stories yesterday.
Using it's a like couple, me hiding behind an animal decoy. It's kind
of
tough.
Yeah, it doesn't work. No, like even snipping off some branches of an old cedar tree and kind of sticking them in the ground for a blind or some multiple arrows, for example, just kind of brush yourself in will help, especially get them closer. Or even a ground blind. Don't be afraid to use a ground blind if you have time to set up. Yeah, and right. If you've roosted some birds and you can go back the next morning and sneak in there and put your ground blind up, you'll be all right.
Right on.
Yes.
What is like the recommended shot size? And also like what can you get away with? Because I will say is someone was like, you need a 3.5-inch TSS, blah blah blah. And I was leaning up against this smaller than my body sapling of a pine tree, and I mean it kicked my ass and the tree's ass when I shot this turkey.
Fair enough.
And I was like, I don't know that I would recommend this to everyone.
Right.
Because I was kind of like propped up goofy too, because you're on the ground and you're in this not super strong position and stuff. So I don't know. I was like, did I need all this? I don't know. And that's just what everyone recommends.
Some states have shot size regulations. I mean, most of them do. And in Kentucky, they've gotten the tungsten and the stuff, the you know, heavy shots.
Bismuth
and all that stuff. It's you can use a really small pellet and do a lot of damage. I mean, it'll and the 410s, 20 gauges, they're a whole lot easier to, you know, a 10 gauge with a load of number fours in it. That don't really, you got to get that BB in that kill zone.
So if you have a 12 gauge or a 20 gauge, what's a typical shot size?
I started out with, since I hadn't got into the tungsten and all that stuff, but the Federal Premium number 6 copper plated, I've never had a turkey get up after I shot it with that.
Okay.
With the 12 gauge, and I shoot.
And that's three inch number 6.
Yeah, the 3.5 will work, but it is a brutal. It and some of your newer shotguns, the kick is not as bad. But you take the old Mossbergs,
that hammer. The old 835 will get you.
You also got to circle back to the choke you're using.
Yeah.
So that's the main thing to look at.
Your pattern and getting that thing in that kill zone and definitely pattern your gun before you go out. Because a lot of these loads with your tight chokes, you may get a pattern off to the right, left, high, low. You need to do that.
Definitely. Know where your gun's shooting.
Right.
Yeah. With any gun you shoot, you need to understand what the ammo's doing coming out of it. Right. That's just a responsible, safe thing to do, period.
Well, the recoil of the gun, you don't want to have, you know, any, what do they call it? Fright, I guess.
If you're scared to shoot the gun, you're going to flinch.
Right.
From what I understand, those turkey loads can
give you a good wallop.
When you're practicing. Yeah.
Or what'd you
It laid me and the turkey down.
You're like, boom.
Well, a lot of times when I'm shooting my shotgun, you got somebody that's got a new gun and they're trying to figure it out, I'll get just a regular field load shell to start off with, just to kind of like you're putting a red dot scope on it or something to get that pattern in that right spot, and then finish up with your load you're going to use. And it ain't as brutal as it is pulling it on the. And when you're shooting at a turkey, you won't feel the kick at all. And like, I mean, it'll be laying on the ground, but you might be laying on the ground, but it's not going to hurt near as bad as if you're shooting at a silhouette.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it can cause you to flinch.
Yeah. The excitement takes it out of it.
No doubt.
For, like tagging turkeys, what's the how does that typically work in Michigan? So like tagging them in the field and then.
Yeah. In Michigan, when you harvest a turkey, I immediately take the kill tag and wrap it around its leg and make sure it's tagged in right at the kill site before you move it. so that way you don't have any question, you know, with the Department of Game and Fish on, you know, the ethical, you know, where you're at as far as things. In Michigan, you also need to mark on the tag the date, you know, when it was harvested. Mm-hmm. So my suggestion, whether you're hunting anything, in your state, if you're supposed to tag it before you move it, tag it before you move
yeah.
it. Don't take it back to the truck. If you forgot for some crazy reason, you get up, let's say you shoot a turkey, you get up there and you accidentally forgot to have it on your person, which isn't right either. Go to the truck, get your tag, come back, put it on the, you know, don't move your game without having it tagged. Just don't take the chance of having any problems.
And or take pictures before tagging it.
Yep, that can happen as well, you know.
Yeah. But do everything you can just to be transparent so you don't have any issues.
Are there any other sticky items for turkey hunting? Because I remember hearing something about fanning and moving, and I guess it, like that. Do you know what I'm talking about?
A little bit, but my suggestion on any of that is look at your regulations. Yeah. If you don't understand your regulations, get on the phone and call your local DNR.
Yeah. Yeah,
call your local DNR officer. Don't just take hearsay.
Yeah.
From a fellow hunter, unless you know them quite well and you trust that information, it doesn't take very long. They'll answer your questions. You can call Lansing in Michigan here and ask them a question regarding the game book. I have, to be honest with you, because it's not clear as we know, and they'll answer your questions. So
for me, when I go to buy my tags, I know anymore everything you can purchase electronically, like your fishing license too, for example. But I like to go into, you know, the local outdoor store, buy my tags at the counter, and then I can get a hard copy of the state regulations.
Absolutely.
And I'm done. It's already there, 2023, 24, whatever year it is. You got it there. You can keep it in your deer camp for that fall, and you're just set.
Yeah.
So in a lot of states, I've gone to like call-in systems or registered animals through that. So is a turkey still like a tag, or can you call in a turkey in certain states and register, you know?
Well, Kentucky's got that. When you get your license printed, it'll have a harvest log on the back where you fill in that. When you shoot the bird before you move it, like he said, before you move it, you fill out that harvest log and it'll you have to fill a date, the county it was killed in, and the species, and that's all you have to actually fill out. And you got, I don't know, I like to call it in. You call the number and you check it in, they'll give you a confirmation number on it then. But I like to do that as soon as I can. But sometimes cell phone service, they give you a window there that you can, you know, that you got to do it. But
so similar to a whitetail.
Yeah. Same as whitetail in Kentucky. We're all the same. It's not.
And then in Michigan, you still have the old school. You have a tag you actually put on the animal. Okay, so it's important to understand state to state what's going on.
Right.
Look at the books. Make a phone call if you need to.
There's another thing with your license, and I don't know if every state's like this, but Kentucky is. You got to have, if you're a non-resident, you have to have a annual non-resident tag or license, and then you still have to buy your tag. Tags are the same, but the annual non-resident license. A lot of the guys or kids or people that work at Walmart's not familiar with hunting. Yeah. They look on your thing. Well, here's one for $30, you know, a 5-day or 7-day. That don't work for turkeys or deer in our state.
I don't suggest anybody go. I hate saying this, but I don't suggest anybody going to a Walmart or just some place to get a tag.
Well, you're probably not going to get store. You're probably not going to get some guy that you're probably not going to get an expert that knows what you need, or, and it's no fault of their own.
No,
they're just not informed of what's going on, and it could cost you. Maybe it'll get dismissed, but it'd be a lot of hassle that's unnecessary.
Yeah.
You know, you just do it right the first time and get what you need and won't have any issues.
Check.
Yeah.
Got to make sure that everything's tight. That's for sure.
Yes.
Right on. So for everybody watching, it's springtime. It's turkey season. Get out. Enjoy the outdoors. Find an excuse to get somebody else involved, friend, family, mentor someone. Find a kid interested someplace and get them in the outdoors. There's no better place to be, as they say in some of them shows, huh?
Yeah.
So from Mike D and Carly B, Hunting Truth Podcast, we appreciate you watching and tuning in. Thanks.